This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this session or for this month is for the month of March of the year 2025. And our subject scripture is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter number 10, verses 34 through 36. And if you have these scriptures available, you will find these words recorded. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household." The title for this message is "What the Mission of the Church Is Not," and this is part number 2 of a 2-part message. This is the last part. Now, when I left off last month, I had begun talking about a time that is coming that a lot of Christians, as well as the ungodly, better hope doesn't occur anytime soon. That time is when the true church will be removed from this earthly realm. The reason I say this is because, from the Christian standpoint, many who can't wait to get out of here better hope he doesn't remove it, because they are in no spiritual condition to be removed. Now, right there, some of you are saying, "How can I say something like that?" They will say, "I am being judgmental." They will say that I am the reason that people don't want anything to do with Christians like myself, because we think that we are better than anyone else. Well, that misconception comes from one particular source, and that is the devil and those ministers of his that are pastoring most of the churches in this nation, and especially in the black community. Addressing the last part first, when it all boils down to the basics, there are only 2 types of individuals on this earth. They are either God's children, those that are saved or born again, or they are not. And if they aren't, then that makes them the children of the devil. It's that simple. If I or anyone else that is saved is addressing someone that is not saved, then that means we are addressing you as someone that has a far better insight to what is going on in this world than they do. It does not mean that we are better, just more enlightened. And the only reason that we got like this is because of who it is that we were taught by. If you are being taught by a man that is anointed by God to be in that position, then you will have a far greater depth of understanding God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit than someone who is being taught by someone else. Because if you know anything about him, you will know that among other things, he does not compromise his word for anyone. In fact, he assures us that his values, his word, that he rather values his word even above all else. That means that he says what he means and means what he says. He doesn't change or compromise on it. Read Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 6. Knowing him and his word goes a long way in helping his children see what the devil is doing and through whom he is doing it. Being judgmental. This is a deception in that what they are calling judgmental is nothing more than telling the truth concerning a certain person, group, or whatever as to how it aligns with the Word of God. People that use this term when it applies to Christians are usually trying to get them to remain quiet and keep their thoughts to themselves. In other words, what they say and do is their business and not yours. The only problem is, in far too many instances, if Christians don't say anything, then the problem or activity will soon spread to the point that it does affect everyone. But by then it will be too late. Someone has been hurt or worse. Whereas if the problem was addressed while it was in its infancy, then the person or persons would not have suffered. You know, all the time we hear of companies and individuals being sued for injuries suffered by a lawyer's client. And usually the lawyer will state that the company or individual knew about the problem weeks, months, or years back and did nothing. Now there's a problem. People have no problem supporting the victim in that situation. But try telling them that something that they are doing is a problem, and all of a sudden, you are being judgmental. All of this boils down to the fact that the people, for the most part, have no moral compass or standard to go by. By that I mean the rules are consistently changing to accommodate what I would call a bunch of spoiled brats. By this I mean these are people that if they don't or can't get what they want, they will throw all types of fits and engage in destructive behavior until they get what they want. You have probably seen kids in a market or store with their parents, and they see a toy or some candy that they want, and the parent doesn't let them have it. The result is, right there in the store, the child throws a fit, laying down on the floor, hollering and screaming. At one time, that only occurred once, because right there in the store, the parent would take their belt off or use their hand on the child's leg or behind and give them something to cry about. You try that today, and you are probably going to get arrested for child abuse, or at the least scolded by someone in the store telling you that you need to find some other way to deal with a disobedient child. Those of us that know God know what the result of listening to this type of foolishness usually leads up to. The cemeteries are full of examples of people that wanted their own way until they met someone that didn't give a hoot about them. Or, and this is about just as bad, they become people in power and try to mold society into what they think it should be. The thing is, if you are going against what God says, then you are in for all types of problems. God, or Christ, tells us to pursue peace with all men, including our enemies. However, you are to do it without compromising His principles. Just because a person may not like me doesn't necessarily mean they are a bad person, that if they needed help with something and I was able to help them, that I would not do so. However, if what they wanted me to help them do violated my moral principles, then that is where I would refrain. Well, who is responsible for instilling these types of principles in us? It starts with our parents. And where are they getting their principles from? Hopefully from the church. It is the job of the anointed man of God to give instruction in righteousness to those that are in his flock. If he does his job, then the people have a far better chance of achieving what God's purposes for their lives is. Of course, the people will have to follow follow that advice or direction. On the other hand, if he doesn't, then the people are left with the idea that God doesn't really have anything to say about how they are doing things. They are a train wreck waiting to happen. Now imagine what happens when one or more of these train wrecks ends up in a position of power or making laws for this country to live by. That is essentially what we have in this nation today. And that is why the nation, and especially the black community, is suffering all the problems that we are. We are essentially thumbing our noses at the directions God is giving us to follow. Now, just what do you think God is going to do about that? Well, according to those spoiled brats and train wrecks, nothing. So they go about passing laws that they feel will make the people more likely to keep them in power so that they can become more wealthy and powerful. And it works because the people have no insight as to what the result of their choices will be, because preachers that they trust and listen to are not sounding the alarm about the dangers that lie ahead. The church is here to give them that warning, and if necessary, take steps to tear down the image that the people have of God not having anything to say about what they are doing. When the Bible uses terms like the weapons of our warfare or destroy the works of the devil or tearing down the strongholds of the enemy and many other scriptures that let us know what the Christian church is here to do, there is no way you can say that its mission is to bring peace on earth and goodwill toward men. From the time God created mankind, the devil has declared war on us, and as long as he is still able to have the ability to do that, then the church, the children of God, are in a war, and that war will continue until Christ himself puts a stop to him, talking about the devil. In the meantime, the devil will wreak havoc wherever he can in nations, in governments, in states, cities, and even families. He will especially do it in the church, even among those that are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, and baptized in Jesus' name. You say, no way? Down through the years, I have known of several preachers that were Pentecostal that got themselves into positions where they either had to step down or were had to be removed from their position in the church as bishop because they got entangled with ungodly behavior or doctrine that definitely was unacceptable. When a church gets to the point where leadership is no longer intolerant to sin, especially abominable sin like homosexuality and lesbianism, and starts placing those people in the offices in the church, it is time to leave that church. Just to make it clear, the place for the homosexual or lesbian in the church is in the congregation and not in some type of office. office holder, or even choir director, or in the choir. The reason being, these physicians are supposed to be offering up what is called a sweet smelling savor to God, and that means it is not contaminated with something that is not pure. If something comes up to God that is impure or contaminated, it is unacceptable to Him and is rejected. In the Old Testament, God struck people down that contaminated what was supposed to be His, talking about the people's worship and praise. The way things are in the church today, speaking out against those types of things, even when you have scripture backing it up, you will most likely be labeled divisive by other Christians. And when the ungodly see the mess that is going on in the church, they will say to themselves, "Why should I join something like that? I don't have that much problem out here. I don't need all that mess." Peace and tranquility would be nice, don't get me wrong. However, as the subject scriptures tell us, that is not what Christ's mission for the church is at this present time. One would think that peace and tranquility in a person's household would be automatic. Certainly, Christ would want that to be the case. Yes, that is what He wants there to be. However, if a grown family member begins to embrace things that are clearly outside of godliness, then it must be addressed immediately. If nothing is said, then others in the family may start embracing that or some other form of ungodly behavior. Then you will have one big mess to deal with. The best thing to do, as they used to say in the 80s and before, nip it in the bud. That means get it out before it blooms into a full-blown crisis. One of the major problems we have in society today comes from following the advice of people that say you should just let them grow out of it. Or maybe they are just expressing who they really are. There are a lot of things and animals that, when they are just starting out, may look just as cute and adorable as they could be, that once they mature are as destructive and deadly as the most deadliest things on earth. In fact, Satan, when he was first created by God, was the most beautiful angel of all of God's angelic host. So if he turned out the way that he did, then you know why you have to be wary of all the adorable things people come up with in living their lives. The mission of the church is not here to make peace, but to destroy the works of the devil. Well, that is the end of our two-part series or message on what the mission of the church is not. And you know, it's just the natural order of things that, like I said in the message, you know, when Christ tells his disciples, which I didn't mention in the scriptures here, but when Jesus told his disciples that his disciples would be persecuted just like he, Jesus, was persecuted. If Jesus was setting about to bring peace and goodwill toward men, then why did the people want to crucify him? It wasn't so much the people that wanted to crucify him as much as it was the religious leaders and the politicians of his day, which we have those same types of people alive and well in our society today that are basically following that same line of reasoning. They don't want peace. They don't want goodwill toward men. All of them are trying to get ahead, and the only way they see to do that is by making sure that people need them. See, if you have things going the way that Christ says that they ought to go, the people will realize that these men are just men and they can't really do anything for them, and that what they actually need is God. But see, that doesn't sit well with men that make their living off of the people needing to come to them for advice, because then that will guarantee that they will always have a platform to present how much they've done for the people, so that the people will hold them in high esteem and hold their direction and instruction as being paramount to living a decent life with all of the problems that they have facing them, which basically come about because if you're serving the devil, my friend, I don't care how much you serve him, you're going to have problems. Plain and simple, because God's going to see to it. If God was to allow you to just have a nice, peaceful life with no problem whatsoever while you're engaging in all types of ungodliness, then what's the sense of you needing to come to God or Christ in the first place for? You see, God's not going to allow that to happen. And since he's in control of everything, that means that and since his word says, you know, that you're going to reap what you sow, and you know, some other choice scripture where he warns you about the circumstances in the books of the law about being disobedient to what he says, the consequences of that's going to be. So and since he says he's not going to change his mind on that, you therefore going to have plenty of problems. And the more problems you have, the more you going to turn to these people that's going to give you what they think is the best way for you to go, but it's only going to be a way to go. It might seem like you're going to get ahead, but then in the end, you're going to end up in more problems. Things getting worse and worse. And like Jesus said, when the blind lead the blind, both are going to fall in the ditch. And see, you get in that ditch and you're just going to end up languishing there. So this whole idea about the church being, or Christians being divisive for preaching the word of God, well, that's what Jesus said, because that's what he was when he was here. He was being divisive. You may not like it. I don't care. It's what God says that counts. Well, that's the end of our message for this month. I hope you got something from it. And until we get together again for some more messages from the Word of God, until then, to you and yours, have a good day.